grab your Bible, say, this is God's word. Not Pastor Evans' word.
I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, sanctify our ears, prepare our hearts, and open up our minds so that we can receive the engrafted word that is able to change and save our soul. I thank you for the word this morning, and I pray that what you have deposited will be released in such a way that it will catapult us to our next levels in life. And I thank you that there is no weapon formed against what they will hear today will prosper. In the name of Jesus, and I step back so the Spirit of God can speak through me to your people in Jesus' mighty name. Last of all, Father, we declare for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow your word today in Jesus' mighty name. Let everybody say, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you can pull me up some more in the monitors, I would appreciate that. I don't want to lose my voice again. Praise the Lord. So today I want to share with you a message that I believe is very critical, and I also believe that it can change your life if you will consistently exercise it. How many know that exercising won't change your life unless you're consistent? Amen. So if you're taking notes or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy. But our message title today is Understanding Alignment. Everybody say understanding alignment. And the goal of the message today is to help you understand. And notice I said help you understand. Look at your neighbor and say he's talking to you today. It's to help you understand the power, the impact, and the advancement that comes when we align ourselves with God and then we stay aligned with God. Because it is possible to get in line with God and then get out of alignment with God. So God has a course and a plan for everybody. But it is up to us to discover the plan. It's up to us to surrender to the plan. And then it's also after that, we'll experience the plan. Jeremiah 29:11 in the New Living Translation says, for I know that the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. So that means the Lord has some plans. And if he wasn't willing to tell us what those plans were, he wouldn't let us know he had some. So he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good. What kind of plans? Good. They are plans for good and not to disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And here's why I believe most people do not fully trust God and the plan that he has is because they don't believe that his plan for them is good. I'm going to say that again. I believe most people don't fully trust God. You have to trust God enough to get saved. But trust has different levels. And I believe that most people don't fully trust, everybody say fully trust, fully trust God because they don't believe that the plan that he has for their life is good. Now, if I said to you, you know what? I have something planned for you after church, and it is going to be amazing. And it'll change your life. I'm just going to ask you to get in my car, and I'm going to take you to what I've had planned for you. How many would get in the car with me and go? You know, some of y'all are like, I don't know. See, those of you who didn't have your hands up and are saying, I don't know, that's how you do God. I don't know. Amen. Here is what most people don't understand about God's plan. Here's a take-home statement if you follow with the notes. You must obey what you know and more of his plans he will show. I'm going to say that again. This is what most people don't understand about God's plan for their life. And it's this: you must obey what you know. See, whatever God's word you know, you must obey what you know. And then once he sees us doing that, then the more of his plans he will show. Why show someone next level plans when they're not doing present day obedience? Amen. Thank you for that one faint clap in the second row. Praise the Lord. It takes, listen, church, it takes a consistent saying of yeses to experience God's plan for your life. I wouldn't be up here. I wouldn't be up here preaching, and I wouldn't be up here as a pastor if I had not said yes to Jesus on the Savior level. Say amen to that. Then I had to say yes to him to move out of the state of Texas, to move to Ohio to accept the job, because he knew up there was a church that was designed to train me. Then I had to say yes when I was up there, when he called me to preach the gospel. Then I had to say yes to go on a missions trip. See, some of you all need to go on the missions trip that we have coming up in September. It may be too late. But anyway, I had to say yes to go to Jamaica on a missions trip, because it was on that trip, once I got there, the Lord spoke to me to go to school there. Then I had to say yes to go to the school. I had to quit my job and go to school. Then I had to say yes while I was at the school, when God asked me to be a pastor. Actually, he didn't ask me, he told me. But it was one of those tales. Let me just say this about God's plan for your life. You're the only person who can say yes or no. Nobody else controls the plans of God for your life but you. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your ex-husband. Don't blame your ex-wife. Don't blame nobody, because nobody can control the plan of God for your life but you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Amen. And so I had to say yes to be a pastor. Then I had to say yes to start Word of Truth Family Church. There are so many yeses that I had to give to the Lord as a pastor that I won't even try to list them all. I'm just going to give you a few of them, because the yeses don't stop. The yeses do not stop until you are in the grave or he comes back for us. And see, some of you all have parked at your current yes. Amen. I had to say yes to start to church in a school. That was unusual back in the day. I had to say yes to move from the elementary school over to a high school. I had to say yes to stay in that high school or schools for over 13 years, because I had to say yes. He didn't want us to buy a building. He wanted us to build a building. I had to say yes to that, because I didn't want to do that. And the misnomer that most people have about the plans of God for your life, you're not going to always want to do all of them. Amen. But see, one thing I've decided to do, watch this now. My goal in life is to please God and not myself. And that's why the things that he may want me to do that I don't want to do or don't feel like doing, I still do it, because the goal is not to please me. The goal is to please thee. Amen. I had to start yes to build this building, knowing on the front end we were going to be short $1 million on the back end. Amen. And I have a current yes that you're not familiar with as a congregation, but our leadership is. Let me give you one more yes before I tell you that one. I had to say yes to start a third service. Listen, my paycheck didn't increase because I added a service. The staff's paycheck did not increase because we added a service. The Lord didn't say, add a third service and I'll pay you more. He didn't say that. Right? But listen, the yeses don't stop. And I've recently had to say yes to do something that I didn't want to do. But because my goal is to please him, that's what it, listen, that's what life is all about. So what's my point? What's my point? My point is, to walk in God's plan for your life, you must do what you know to do right now and say yes every step of the way. Everybody say yes. And so today's message is, I think it's going to help you be able to do that. So let's talk about what alignment is. Alignment means to adjust to align. It means to bring into proper position agreement or harmony. So if the line for alignment is here and I'm over here, I need to make my way over here so that I can get in alignment. But we're not just talking about regular alignment this morning. We're talking about divine alignment. Everybody say divine alignment. There's a big difference. And divine alignment is living in harmony and in agreement to God's will, God's way, and God's timing. I'm going to say that again. Divine alignment is living in harmony and agreement to God's will, God's way, and God's timing. So here's point number one if you're taking notes. Your alignment impacts your assignment. Your alignment impacts your assignment. Everybody say, my alignment impacts my assignment. And I can hear some of you all saying, well, Pastor Eben, I don't know what my divine assignment is. Well, could it be that it's because you're out of alignment? If in divine alignment, instructions are given and I'm outside of that, I can't hear what God wants me to do because I'm not under divine alignment. Say amen to that. Some of you all, if you've ever had your car out of alignment, you may not know up front that it is. You may have hit a pothole. You may have hit a speed bump too hard. But either way, your car got out of alignment and you didn't know it. And if your tires are pretty good, you won't necessarily feel it in the ride. But if you let go of your steering wheel and your steering wheel kind of like, you know, goes to the right or goes to the left, that means your car is out of alignment. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to somebody in here now. You trying to figure out, single woman, why your car is going all to the side by itself. Girl, you need an alignment. Well, the same thing happens in our relationship with God. We may hit a pothole in life. And if you don't properly handle some of the difficulties in life, the next thing you know, you'll find your life out of alignment. And if you stay out of alignment too long, your destination will not be reached. You say, well, what are some of the stuff that, you know, what are these potholes? Well, disappointment. If you don't handle disappointment right. See, there are some people who don't go to church no more because they got disappointed with what happened. They expected God to do one thing and he didn't. And because they're disappointed in what he did or didn't do, they just decided, well, there's no reason to believe God. Distractions. Everybody say distractions. All these start with a D. Distractions. You know, if you don't handle distractions right, they will get you outside of God's divine will and alignment for your life. And that's why, you know, if you're single, the moment you see a red flag, you need to stop. You say, well, Pastor, just one red flag. If you were to survey a lot of the married people who ignored the major first red flag, see, if he ain't saved, that's not just a red flag, that's a stop sign. So some people didn't handle disappointment well. They didn't handle distractions well. Here's the third D, the wrong company. That's right, I said it, the wrong company. The Bible says bad communication corrupts good manners. If you want to get out of divine alignment, just connect with the wrong people. Some of y'all done started back drinking just because of who you started back hanging around with. Some of y'all not a hoe on purpose. Did he say that? Yeah. Would you rather me use the word prostitute? Is that better? So we're going to talk about somebody today who life got out of divine alignment. But then they were able to get themselves back on. So let me give you the context of the story. We're talking about Peter. And when Jesus met Peter, one of the things he said to him is found in Matthew chapter 4. So they're going to put Matthew 4, 18 up there. I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning. And so this was when Jesus met Peter. It says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. And they were casting a net into the sea. For they were what, church? Come on, church, what were they? They were fishers. Verse 19. And he said to them, read it with me, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So now Jesus, when he meets them, he said, listen, I know you're fishers of fish, but I'm going to make you fishers of men. And so the Bible says in verse 20, they left their nets straightway and they followed him. So as Peter walked with Jesus, one of his biggest mistakes that we know about is that he denied Jesus how many times? Three times. And I know that set him back. So we're going to pick up the story where Jesus, he had been crucified, he had been buried, he had been raised from the dead, he had appeared to many people, including his disciples. So we're picking up this story because we're going to see the mentality of where Peter was after he denied Jesus three times. Because some of you have gotten out of divine alignment because of some of the past mistakes you've made. See, what Peter's going to find out is that his even though he denied Jesus three times, it didn't disqualify him for what Jesus said he called him to be. So watch this. John 21, verse 1 through 7. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed himself. Verse 2. And they were together, Simon Peter, there he is. Everybody say, there he is. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus. Why all these disciples had nicknames? Simon, his nickname's Peter. Well, Peter, his, you know, you got Thomas, his name, nickname was Didymus. Diddy, that's the first Diddy in the Bible. I want you to know that. Diddy was a disciple. Praise the Lord. We speak that prophetically over Diddy right now. He's going to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, so they all hanging out. And so Simon said to them, I'm going fishing. Now what did Jesus tell Simon he was going to become? A fisher of what? Men. But now, because of his past mistakes, he decided to go back to what was comfortable. And that's what people do. That's what happens when they get out of divine alignment. They go back to things that they used to do because, for some reason, like Peter did, they don't feel qualified. So he said, let's go fishing. So they said to him, well, we're going to go with you. Let's go to the club. I ain't met no men in the church. In fact, ain't no saved men nowhere in the world. Let's go to the club. No, there are some clubbers in the room. I ain't just talking out of my head. Some of y'all have gone back to the club. What's in the club? Well, some of y'all married said, well, Pastor, I met him in the club. That's why you're married, Jack. That's why. Okay, I'm going to be nice today. He said, let's go fishing. They said, well, we're going to go with you. So they went forth and they entered into a ship immediately. And that night, everybody say that night. That night, they didn't catch nothing. You go to the club, you're going to get catfished. That's what's going to happen. They caught nothing.
What did they catch, church?
Nothing. But when the morning was come, Jesus was standing on the shore. And the disciples knew not that it was him. And so then Jesus said to them, children, did you catch anything? Got any meat? They said, well, no. And so he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you'll find something. And so they cast their net on the right side, and they were not able to draw out how much of the multitude of fishes that they caught. And so therefore, the Bible says, that disciple whom Jesus loved, by the way, that's John, he wants everybody to know that he loved Jesus more than everybody else. He said to Peter, that was the Lord. And so Peter, watch this. He girded up and he got his fisher's coat upon him because he was naked. You know this boy, he done backslid all the way back to him. He fishing with no clothes on. Peter put on his coat because he was naked and he cast himself to the sea. So we're dropping down to verse 15 very quickly. John 21, 15. So when they had dined, they started eating some of the fish. Jesus said to Simon Peter, who is Jesus talking to? That's who we're talking about today, Simon Peter. Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Now, here's the question. Do you think he's asking him, does he love him more than the other disciples? I don't think he's doing that. I think what he's asking him is, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than what your past is? Do you love me more than these? And he said unto him, well, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, well, if you do, do what, church? Feed my lambs, my baby sheep. How many know lambs are representative of people? Then he said in verse 16, again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? And so he said to him, well, yeah, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Now, see, the word love that Simon's using is the word philio, which means friend. So then, verse 17, he says, well, if you love me, feed my what? Sheep. So now he done went from the baby sheep to the big sheep, verse 17. So he said to Simon a third time, son of Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And so he said unto him, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. So then Jesus said to him, read it with me, church, feed my sheep. What was the point of Jesus having to say that to him three times? What he was saying is, Simon, just because you denied me three times doesn't mean what I called you to do, you've disqualified yourself. He said, so what I need to do, because right now, Simon, you are out of alignment. The way you talking and the way you living and what you're doing is contrary to what I told you you were called to do. So I'm here to remind you that you need to get now back into divine alignment and accept the assignment that's on your life. So Peter got back into alignment. And we know that. You know why? Because on the day of Pentecost, he preached the first sermon and 3,000 people got saved. He healed a man that was sitting in the temple, sitting outside the temple that was begging for food. He got the revelation that Jesus saved not just the Jews, but also Jesus wanted to save the Gentiles. So listen, church, his realignment helped him fulfill his assignment. Everybody say, his realignment helped him fulfill his assignment. So here's the problem. Here's, touch your neighbor, say, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Here's a take-home statement. Inconsistent alignment keeps us from experiencing my God-given assignment. I'm going to say that again. Inconsistent alignment. Some of you all are treating God's call on your life like you are a double Dutch jump roper. Ooh, I'm tired. Inconsistent alignment keeps me from experiencing God's given assignment. Which brings us now to point number two, and that is alignment requires adjustments. If you don't get a single woman, if you don't go get that car aligned, your tires are going to look like a blow pop, smooth as it can be. So how do we get, here's the question, how do we get out of alignment with God? What do we do? What are some of the things that we can do, that we do to get out of alignment when it comes to God? Well, here's the first main key. When we get out of alignment, it's because we have moved from spirit to flesh. Galatians chapter 3. Paul says to the church of Galatia, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you? Who has talked you into that you should not obey the truth?" That's why don't let social media teach you. Let me teach you, and you compare what I'm teaching you to social media. And if it does not line up with what I'm teaching you, you need to... He says, "Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth and crucified among you? This only would I have learned of you." This is what he asked him. He said, "Did you receive the Spirit by earning it? By the works of the law? Or did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith?" One is flesh and one is spirit. He says in verse 3, watch this. "Oh, you... So are you so foolish? Have you begun in the what? Spirit. You're now, are you being made perfect by the flesh?" So every time you and I stop trusting God's way and we begin to do things our way, we move over from spirit to flesh. And that's how we get out of alignment. Anytime you have to contemplate in your mind if you're going to obey something that you've read or that you know, you are contemplating moving now from spirit over to flesh. And that's where a lot of people get out of alignment with God, because they move over from spirit to flesh. Listen to Romans chapter 8 verse 5 in the New Living Translation. He says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the what? Holy Spirit, think about those things that please the Spirit." So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But watch this. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. Which means that when I step out, when I step into flesh, death starts. When I stay over into spirit, life starts. So I have some dominoes up here. Now, they're set up that if I tap the first one, what's going to happen? All of them going to fall. So let's pretend that these dominoes represent God's plan for my life. Can y'all see those dominoes up here? All right, look on the screen if you can't see it straight. It represents God's plan, God's purpose, God's blessing, God's leading, God's direction for my life. So, it's up to me to stay in alignment so that I can reach the end of whatever that looks like. Now, we know his plans are good. That's what he said. So, I'm not going to tap it all. I'm not going to tap it yet. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a flesh decision. Halfway. So, this is why your life looks half blessed. Because you got out of alignment and the dominoes stopped. So I wonder how many of us, God's been trying to work on us. And watch this. This is why your life still is half blessed. But now he's trying to get you to say yes to where you stopped. "I need you to quit that job." "Oh, I ain't quitting that job, God. I got 10 more years to retire." But what you don't know is that company is going to go bankrupt. But because the scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with how much your heart? And then lean what? Nah, so you lean it, and once you lean, flesh. So here's the question. I need to hurry up. Here's the question. What causes us to get out of divine alignment? We just said to go from flesh to spirit. Here's some additional ones. Number one is how we think. If we keep our thinking in line with the word, we're going to stay in the spirit and we're going to stay in alignment. But once we allow how we think and the way we think to contradict the word, listen, misalignment begins. Now, I'm going to throw this out there because I look last, and the last time I taught on giving was 7 months ago. Some of you all, your finances are out of alignment. That's why it's a struggle. Because the way you're functioning with your money is out of alignment with God. And so flesh thinking says stuff like, I can't tithe. I can't even catch up with the bills I got. I can't honor the Lord because I got too much going on. See, that's flesh, and flesh leads to death. But see, spirit says, okay, God, you said if I honor you with my substance and the first fruit of what I give, then you said, so shall my barns be filled with plenty. You said when I give the tithe and offering, you would open up the windows of heaven. See, that's spiritual mind thinking. But see, here's where, as a church of today, we done got misled. See, in the book of Acts, there was a couple who decided to, you know, the spirit of generosity was working in the church to the point where they was like, you know what? I got way more than what I need. I want to help somebody. So they was going, selling land and selling property and selling stuff, and they bring the money for what they sold to the apostles. And the apostles passed out people who needed stuff and stuff. And so this one couple named Ananias and Sapphira, they decided, you know what? We're going to sell some property too, but what we're going to do is keep some of the money, but we're going to tell them that we sold, you know, we giving them all the money. So when they showed up to Peter, Peter was like, ooh, wait a minute, something don't feel right. He says, did y'all sell the property for this much? They said, oh, yeah, we did. Is that what you gave? Oh, yes, what we did. And the husband was the one doing that. And Peter said to him, you lied to the Holy Ghost, not to me. And he fell down dead. Then his wife shows up too. I guess it was a prayer meeting. She showed up and Peter asked her, so, Did y'all sell y'all's property for this much? She was like, yeah. He said, well, did you give that much? She was like, yeah. He said, well, the same guys that buried your husband, they're going to bury you next to him. And the Bible says she dropped dead. See, we don't, here's the problem. Touch your neighbor and say, he's about to show you something. Here's the problem. Because we don't see people dropping dead in their giving, we don't think that that works anymore. The problem is there's a spiritual side to that as well. So this is why your financial life is not reproducing. This is why your finances are dead, just like they died. Your finances are dead. You know why? Because you're not. Listen, when you fill out your tithe and your offering, you lying to God. We don't know. Let me tell you something. Every time you get paid, the question is, are you lying when you give? And you wonder why your financial life is dead? You robbing Peter to pay who? To pay Paul, praise the Lord. I gave that for free. So how we think either keeps us in line with God or in alignment or gets us out of alignment. The Bible calls this carnal thinking. Here's number two. I'm going to go real fast. These are things that get us out of alignment with God. How we feel. See, our soul consists of our mind, our will, our emotions, and how we feel, that type of thing, right? Well, our souls, though, have been designed to feed us information but not control our destination. And many people let their feelings control their destination. I just feel like this. I feel like I need a divorce. I feel like I need to quit. I feel like busting loose. What else do you feel? You can't let your, listen, your feelings are like a smoke alarm. It just gives you an alarm that you need to pay attention to something. I mean, if you married, here's a prelude to the marriage in September. If you have to feel in love to stay in love, if you have to feel in love to stay in love, then guess what? You're not going to be in love long. Here's number three. This is how we get out of alignment, is by what we say. Psalm 45, 1b in the Amplified says, my tongue is like the pen of a skillful writer. You and I write the script for our lives by releasing the words from our mouth. Death and life is in the power of thy tongue. And if that's the case, then my tongue can keep me in alignment with God or get me out of alignment with God. When you say stuff like, man, I can't do this. Man, listen, if the Bible says we can do all things through Christ, then you can. Amen. I can't make it. So what we say, James chapter 4, says, but the tongue can no man tame. The Holy Spirit can. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Watch this. Therefore, we bless God with this tongue, even the Father, but we curse men with this same tongue, which is made after the similitude of God. Watch verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds what, church? Blessings and cursing. That says to me that when you use words that don't align with God's word, you get out of alignment with God. Here's the next one. This is big. Is when we don't say. These are things that can get you out of alignment with God. That's why mankind failed. Because Adam refused to say something to Eve about what she was doing. He should have said, baby, no. Devil, back up. And baby, no. Put that down. God told us not to touch that. And I don't know if Eve had an attitude yet. I don't know. Sin hadn't fallen, so she probably didn't have an attitude. Had he said something, she would have probably been like, okay, sweet Adam. Man, listen, sometimes you're going to have to say something to your wife, and you're going to have a strong back to deal with whatever she try to throw up. Pastor, I know I'm going to get an attitude. Pastor, so what? Pastor, she's going to give me that lip. So what? Point it to the scriptures. Sometimes the head is going to make a decision that you don't like. Once you voice your opinion, zip it. And if you still want to complain about it, go talk to his boss. You talking to him, he don't hear you. You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. No, you go to his boss. You go to God and say, God, I don't think this decision this man is making is the right decision, but that's what I'm feeling. But God, I don't know what you have put in him as the head, but if it ain't the right thing, God, let him come back to me and say, honey, that was not the right thing. That's my bad. But until then, zip it, release it to God, and get your attitude straight. The Bible says a woman can win her husband by her attitude. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all shot. Preach, Pastor Evan. I'm trying. Woo-wee, some of y'all don't like that, do you? That's Bible right there, though. Ooh. Okay, let me hurry up. Some of us, we get out of alignment because of sin. In other words, disobedience misaligns us. And let me tell you something about disobedience, church. Spiritual consequences are just as real as natural ones. Here's the next one. Some of us get out of alignment with God because of our complaining. Do you know complaining killed folks in the wilderness? Complaining, just because if you didn't know, is the act of expressing dissatisfaction about something. It's also expressing the annoyance or discontent about a situation, about a person, or about a circumstance. So let me just say this. If you're murmuring in here in the church, you're spreading a virus. God don't like that. Complaining usually focuses on what is wrong rather than on the solutions or the gratitude of something. It's one little thing you don't like about the church, so you complaining. But why don't you just say, Lord, I thank you that our church is a friendly church. Our church is a loving church. Our church is a word-based church. Our leadership models integrity. Now you want to talk about the chair they didn't give you. A chair is still a chair. So listen, listen. If God is supposed to be the person that's guiding your life, and we're complaining about that, you are expressing your dissatisfaction of his leadership in your life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things. How many things? All things without murmuring and disputing. Here's the last one. This is good, and I'm almost done. This is something that gets us out of alignment with God, is when we stop the dying process. You cannot continue to produce fruit as a believer if you stop the dying process. You say, well, how do I stop the dying process? When you start saying no, pump the brakes to God. Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow him. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, he says in the Amplified, I assure you, believers, by the pride which I have in you, your union with Christ Jesus, our Lord, listen to what he says, I die daily. I face death and I die to self. You got to die every day. When you wake up, you got to say to yourself, dead. So that way, when you want to cuss somebody out later, you gave yourself a funeral that morning. I'm not going to cuss you out because I'm dead. I am going to bless you because I'm alive. So what's the advantage of living a life that is consistently aligned with God? Here's point number three, and we're done. Alignment brings advancement. I said alignment brings advancement. So here's my last example of dominoes. Now see, over there, we got out of alignment and we didn't get to the end to whatever that looks like. But see, if this end represents God's best, God's blessings, God's instruction, a clearer relationship or a clearer way for you to hear him, if this represents that, and I stay in alignment because I'm allowing my mind to stay spiritual, then this is what my life will look like. Guess what? It's now ready for the next level. You know why you're repeating levels? Because you didn't finish the level. Even Pac-Man ain't gonna let you go to the next level until you finish your current level. So if Pac-Man ain't gonna let you go to the next level before you finish the level, then God ain't gonna let you skip a level because you got tired and weary. So how do we apply the word today? Because I'm out of time. I'm already over the time. How do we apply the word today? Number one, divine alignment will only happen when you decide to trust God. Number two, divine alignment will only happen when you decide to stay in alignment by dying to what you want to do every day. Number three, divine alignment will only happen when you decide to obey the Lord on a consistent basis. And number four, divine alignment will only happen when you maintain a repentant heart. You can't let sin collect up. It's all dusty. Your heart all dusty. And see, here's some of y'all's problem right here. You're not in divine alignment with God because you let him in your house. You gave him your heart. He saved you. But he's waiting on you to open up some of those rooms inside your house and let him in. You got a closet in your spiritual house that Jesus is waiting on you to open the closet. Well, it's all messed up. I got all kind of stuff in that closet. Oh, it's beat up. I got clothes piled up. I got stuff all over the place. Yeah, that's why he wants to come in. But see, you're trying to straighten that closet up or you let him in there. That's not how it works. And so some of you all are out of alignment right now because it's time to open up other doors in your life for him to come in. Did y'all get something out of the word today? So let's